Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the December 6th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Our panelists this week include Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois. From the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois, Brian Stark and Mike Zuzula, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, along with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. We always get kind of a list of items that maybe we should discuss from each of our panelists. I think, Brian Stark, I'll begin with you. What's on the top of your mind today?
I guess probably similar to everyone else, obviously the continued what is a substantial amount of what commodity China agreed to over the weekend to purchase. Obviously, that's where most of the trade's attention is and kind of where I would start our discussion.
Mike Zuzula, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Yeah, I think dovetailing on Brian, is the Trump truce and the trade truce really a truce? That's the question I think we're asking right now between the contacts I work with in Chicago and the clients that I work with. And also, you know, can USDA's report come in and kind of save us from this trap that we've been in as far as selling rallies up against resistance?
Well, I'm going to have to figure out what you mean by save us. I think we'll start there, but let's get to a couple of other things. Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, from your list.
I guess I'd like to know what everybody thinks, how soon the trade expects to see something happen. And how long are they willing to wait for something to happen on the trade front with China?
And finally, Michael Cordonnier, anything to add to the list?
Well, I agree with everything that was said, and I'll add what's happening down in South America and the early soybean harvest out of Brazil.
Okay, and I want to come back, Mike, to you. Can next week's USDA report, which is due out, I think, on Tuesday, the WASD, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, show a set of numbers that would allow the market to extricate itself at all from the debacle that it's in at the moment?
I think it can if you don't include, the USDA doesn't include being 40%+ behind in U.S. exports and instead focuses on about 250, 275 million bushels of beans still left out in the field due to the harvest progress being so, so slow. And clients in Indiana, Illinois, Indiana border, all the way to Columbus, Ohio, and even here in Kansas, Northeast Kansas and into Missouri, you know, there's clients that I work with that have over 20% of their beans still left out in the field. And I really do question whether that's going to get out at this point. And if it is it even going to be in a condition that elevators will take? So I do think there's a window of opportunity here that if USDA leaves the export number unchanged and instead focuses on a drop in either harvested acres or yield and trims carryover, the trade will feel like, okay, we've gotten a supply side issue regenerated here that takes the pressure off the demand side issue with what's going on with China.
Can I follow up with you on that just a bit? Given that USDA is now in the midst of taking a survey of producers for the January report, which would be the final crop production report of the year, asking them what they have, I suppose, in the field, what they haven't been able to harvest, and some of their yields, is it very likely that they would include this in their computations for the December set of numbers? I suppose WASD might take it into account. Surely it won't show up in any NAS numbers anyplace.
Yeah, and that's why I said save us. You know, I think the likelihood is pretty low. I think the other thing that we have to think about going into the report too is how producers react once they, if they get news about the second 78 cents, 80 cents coming from the government or not coming from the government. Secretary of Ag Perdue put that back on the table at the beginning of this week, saying we might hear something as late as Friday of this week. So that will make a big determination as far as what producers sell, which in turn makes a big decision or leaves a big question on what you just asked about. What do producers tell the USDA if they push a lot of beans out the door because they see that next 80 cents coming? as opposed to hold firm and hold tight because they don't see it coming. So that's another whole set of situations at this point.
So, Michael Cordonnier, I'll come to you. Much of what we're thinking about now in the marketplace hinges on the first harvest of soybeans out of South America. Do you have any opinion on when that might come, and more importantly, when it might be able to get into the actual global supply? That's the part that would be worthwhile.
Yes, well, South America, especially Brazil, planted their soybeans at a record fast pace. Right now, they're probably 95-96% planted. Now, the first soybeans in Brazil will be harvested during the second half of December, maybe a few fields even before Christmas. And in Mato Grosso, for example, they think by the end of December, 1% of the soybeans will be harvested. And then more importantly, by the end of January, they think 15% of the soybeans might be harvested in Mato Grosso. And there also were early other parts of the country, so I would say Brazil, by the end of January, would probably have 12 to 15 million tons of soybeans harvested. That would be double the normal amount for last year and the five-year average. Normally, the first vessels leave Brazil about the last week of January. But this year, they might leave earlier than that, maybe by mid-January. Now, the first soybeans, there's always a bidding war between the crushers and the exporters. And I think this year the exporters may win that bidding war. So there's going to be a very an early harvest of soybeans, probably a good 10 to 14 days earlier than normal, and an early start to exports as well. And I get a lot of questions about this when the first shipment's coming out of Brazil. It'll be early, that's for sure.
Do you have an opinion as to whether the Chinese will come to the United States before they go to Brazil?
Well, I think they'll come to the United States to do some purchases, just sort of to say, hey, we're trying to help you out here, part of the negotiation skills. But they're not going to buy everything that they should have purchased before. You know, during the last couple of months, for example, they purchased from Brazil. Now, if you take a vessel holding 60,000 tons of soybeans, they purchased from Brazil about 120 to 130 vessels per month the last couple of months. And from the United States, it was like one or maybe two. So they bought everything they needed from Brazil. They might buy a few vessels from the United States, but to their advantage this year, Brazil's going to come online really early this year. So they'll buy some, I think, just sort of to placate negotiations. But I have to kind of wait and see what that substantial amount ends up being.
And finally, one other question before I turn to everybody else. Does Brazil have beans left that they can still export prior to the new crop coming in?
They're almost at the bottom of the barrel. I think there's going to be maybe 2 million tons exported in December. The carrier was going to be down basically zero. They're going to be sold out. So this is the most they've ever sold for sure. And a little bit further down the road, it means their soybean exports for next year will be less than this year because there's no carryover. So they're selling out everything wall-to-wall right now.
Hey, Brian Stark, do you think, based on your question, that substantial means a couple of cargo loads until we can go to Brazil, or will there be a real commitment of some sort?
I think it goes to my second part of my question. What commodity are we really focused on? We've seen soybeans. We've seen natural gas, pork. I mean, I think it was very high level and vague, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, the market took off in an overreacting positive way Sunday night when the night session opened, and then retracted and during the day session to close, you know, with half of the initial gains because there's not a lot of definition around there. I'd like to believe that if they're going to make a substantial amount, that they'll purchase more than one to two vessels, especially given what Michael said about the fact that Brazil's about tapped out. And you've got a 30-day window, it sounds like, before there's a large amount of exportable beans out of Brazil again. Maybe we can get some substantial demand because otherwise, you know, our focus has been, it's a positive news front when you see the demand base, but even when you look at the overall table, we're not just a victim of the trade war and the tariffs with China, but the fact that we produced an awfully big bean crop. And going back to Mike's point, I think on the supply side, if you could get a little bit of a break from the government and some of the beans that are still in the field don't get harvested, that would help the situation, not just get some of the Chinese lost demand, export demand back.
Well, Dan Zwicker, will USDA help us help out farmers out next week? And how long do you think the wait will be till we find out what substantial is?
Well, I don't think the purpose of the USDA is to help the farmer out.
Agreed.
Now, I would be awfully surprised if there's any kind of public commitment on volume and when they're going to do the purchasing. That is not the way the market works. And if the trade is expecting there's going to be some kind of announcement that China is going to buy 10 million tons or going to buy 15 million tons during the next 6 months, they're not going to get anything like that.
Well, I don't know. Terry Branstad had that happen all the time. Those Chinese delegations would come to Iowa and they'd give a number out.
Those were smaller numbers. That was actually while they were still buying. That was just maybe bumping up the number that they're originally thinking. This here has been, they've been in, basically haven't bought anything from us for a long time, or it snuck in a different way. And all of a sudden they come out and say, we're going to buy. That ain't the way it works. I mean, now, once everybody's positioned for it, then they may announce that. But they're not going to say that they're going to buy 15 million tons and not have anything on the books. It's going to have to be positioned. I mean, they're going to have to work with an export company, and that export company is going to have to go out and get that sale covered, either with futures or cash or some way before that stuff is announced. And that's why USDA's daily reporting system, when they announce a sale, that's already been priced into the market. And having worked with companies that do export business, you can hide sales for several hours. Most of the sales, it's not like somebody from China is going to call up a special city in Illinois that we know about and say, we want to buy 10 million tons of soybeans. Or they're going to call up a special city in Minnesota that we know about and say, we're going to buy 15 million tons of soybeans, or a city in Missouri that says we're going to buy 15 million tons. It ain't going to happen that way. Most of the sales are all going to be done by foreign affiliates. And then the foreign affiliates, once they get themselves all positioned with the ships and all this kind of business, then it kind of works its way back to the U.S. And then the U.S., then once it comes to the U.S. ground, then they have to report it to the USDA that they've made so many sales to either XYZ or unknown purchases. So it's going to take a while for all of this stuff to develop. It's just not going to develop overnight, and everybody has to kind of get positioned for it. If you're going to go out and buy a bunch of stuff, you're going to tell anybody how many you're going to buy before, because I mean, all you're going to do is run up the price before they get a bot. I mean, they're going to try to buy it as cheap as they can, and as orderly as they can, so the market isn't totally disrupted. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into making an export sale. I mean, it's getting the ships lined up, and everything. So it's just not done by the snap of your fingers. So I think that if the trade's waiting on some firm commitment, I think they're going to be waiting for a long time. Now, I may be misreading it all wrong. Now, USDA may come up with a number that they think that they're going to buy, and then, or there'll be some kind of price range. If anything, it would be a range that you could drive a semi-truck through. And then the trade could kind of decide whether it's going to be low side, high side, mid side, you know, whatever. But I don't look for any confirmation that they're going to buy XYZ in a particular time window. I just don't believe that's going to happen that way.
Okay, so let's deal with this in the way I think it, that I've been told from you all, and I'll kind of lay it out and see whether you think this is right. The time frame that farmers have to work with is about a month, maybe a month and a week and a half or something like that before China would really just turn to South America for the import of soybeans. So they've got, 6 weeks maybe to deal with. And from harvest to that middle part of January, and Brian, maybe you can help me out, maybe 70% of the soybeans normally are marketed. Is that right? And then if that's all the case, what does it matter or what do producers do?
Well, I think someone earlier mentioned about the government payment from the second payment. And I think, you know, when I talk to our customer base, I think as we do in general, I think that's more of an impact necessarily than the deal itself. And I think obviously everyone wants it resolved. But from a marketing standpoint, there's a lot of beans given the carry in the market out to July that are on farm this year. And I think the producer's just biding his time and waiting to take advantage of that carry based on a lot of them, whether they're going to get the second payment or not. And I mean, that adds up, and a lot of them would, you know, be able to clear easily $10 beans. And with the yields that they've had this year in our area in East Central Illinois, it's very profitable to be a seller and at least selling the carry, maybe not necessarily for spot delivery, but out into the summer and locking that in. And so I think ultimately that's probably where the direction the producer is going to go. But a lot of it hinges on whether they're going to see the second payment, Trump payment from the government.
So I think what you're telling me, and Mike Zuzulo, you can jump in here too, is if they get the 82.5 cents, that they're just going to store, especially if they've got them in bags or in bins on the home farm. Is that right?
No, just the opposite. They will sell and then add that 82 cents on. If they don't get 82.
Oh, they'll all dump.
Correct.
Oh.
Yes, that'd be my position. I don't know what the other guys think, but I've told people, you know, if you get the 82, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah, I'll let it go then, because then I can get back to close to $10. I'm okay with that. But the otherwise, they're saying, hey, Mike, you got to make me 80 cents if the government doesn't get it for me. And it's like, okay, we'll do that. Sure.
Okay, so somebody else, Michael Cordonier, what happens if Friday or Monday, which when this airs on Friday on the radio, USDA says, yep, second payment's coming. It's 82.5 cents. And those payments come in about a week or pretty quickly, especially this time around. They'll just be, if you've already applied, it'll just all drop out, I would think, super fast. What happens to the market?
Yeah, well, I agree that the farmers would start to sell if they get that second payment, because what else are you going to wait for? You wait for some unknown purchases from China and the amount we wouldn't know. And then if that's delayed, then you switch to South America. So it would appear to me that would be their best opportunity. If they get that second payment, then just add it up, make a $10, you know, price for soybeans and sell it. Then if you do that, and if China does not come in with a large purchase, then I'll let the other guys finish off the sentence. But I think the prices would go down.
Oh, I think it'd be well. I think it'd be well supported. I think you see commercials step right in there by that. Farmers don't sell the high. You know, I mean, anybody that thinks the farmer sells the high, they need to go back and study the books a little more. Farmers usually sell the bottom of the market. So if you would see big farmers selling during the month of December, I mean, if I was a commercial, I'd just step right up in there. I'd buy everything the farmer wants to sell it.
Not so much necessarily the downtrend. I think obviously that's the up and movement, upward or downward movement is driven based more on China's decision. But I think as hedge pressure comes in the market, if they do that and follow through with selling, it maybe just caps potential upward movement. We stay locked within a range that we've been in for the better part of 30 to 60 days. That's my opinion.
It doesn't change anything very much in terms of where we've been at in that case for you.
Right. Correct.
Mike Zuzulo, your thoughts?
I'd be a bit of a contrarian. I think the last time we went down sharply in November, it was partially because of the market. The cash market and the futures market knew that 80 cents was coming, and they felt like they could drive the prices down. And I think that's in part why we were able to bounce back so quickly, along with the delayed harvest and been able to navigate the way we have. So I'd be more worried and concerned that we would go back down towards that 830 low and essentially erase most of the dollar rally we've seen since the November lows were put in place.
All I can say is if you look at Central Illinois average cash prices? I know Central Illinois is different than what it is in South Dakota and North Dakota and what all that stuff. But that sideways higher trend, or I'd say a higher trend in soybeans, is solidly in place. That has been solidly in place since middle part of September. And yes, there's been a setback in there, but there ain't been no new cash lows made in the soybean market. If anything, there's been new cash highs made in the cash market over the last week. So I don't necessarily, I'd say anybody, farmers that sold any cash in here, they've sold it at a lower level than what the current market is. During the last 60 days.
I agree with that, Dan. The only thing I'm saying is that the reason the market has been able to go up and the cash has become because the farmers have held it because they got that first 80 cents. And so I do think the market got ahead of what the farmers were going to do and anticipated it. And that's why we got the tighter market.
Let's turn our attention now to corn. Michael Cordonier, what do we know about corn in South America, first and second crop, or the safrinha?
Okay, they did plant a little bit more full-season corn in southern Brazil, about 5% more. The weather's been very good, so the full-season crop is going to be good. I think the second crop of corn, the safrinha corn in Brazil, I think it's going to go up maybe 5%. But here's a real big deal for the safrinha corn. The soybeans are planted extra early, which means they'll be harvested extra early. And right now, we think 100% of all the safrinha corn will be planted during the ideal planting window, which closes about the 20th of February. So all the second crop of corn should do very well if the weather cooperates. And in fact, I got Brazil corn estimated at 96 million tons. That's on the higher end of all the estimates. The record is only 98 million tons. But two things influence safrinha production in Brazil. When you can plant, that's like the most important, and the price. And the price is okay, not the greatest in the world, but it's okay. And I think there's going to be an extra early, probably record early planting. So if the weather cooperates, I think Brazil is going to have a very big soybean, very big corn crop, and a record soybean crop on top of it. So two big crops coming out of Brazil.
So Brian and Mike and Dan, and I'll start with you, Brian. What should producers be considering at this point as it relates to corn sales? And we'll start with that, which is in commercial storage.
I think, you know, towards the upper end of the range is kind of what we've been talking about. The 200-day moving average sits right now somewhere around 393 on the March. We've encouraged producers to lay some resting orders above that until we know more about the bean situation. Because in our opinion, corn for now is a follower because that's where the trade's focus is on the trade issues. So corn is going to ebb and flow, and we are at the upper end of a range above the 50-day and 100-day moving averages. So we've been targeting somewhere in that 391, 392 area on the board for grain that hasn't been sold yet. And I think that's kind of where we'd start when you flip to new crop. I think similar status on the December 19, you know, looking to find something in this area above $4 as a place to get started on some of their expected production for 19.
Yeah, I'd probably give myself another 10, 15 cents higher than new crop. But for the stored corn, I really like Brian's idea and the idea of upwards of 395, 397 area basis March. The thing that I'll be looking for is Tuesday's report. We're running 80% ahead of schedule on exports and corn year to date. For inspections, can USDA drive us down below a 1.7 carryover and get closer to a final carryover of 1.65, which is where I'm at, and do that through the demand side? And if they do that, does the market react, or is a lot of that already built in, or does the soybean market have a lot more negative flows and investors sell, and that puts pressure on the corn? In other words, I'd like to see Tuesday's report show a lower corn carryover and those upper levels get hit. If they don't, then I'd probably be real nervous to get something done by the end of the week next week.
18 crop, you know, everybody's at their own situation. And I know a lot of guys need to have some cash sold. But I guess I'm in the opinion I would at least give the market a couple weeks in here to try to maybe offer you another 10 or 15 cents in the corn market. That may sound real optimistic for the month of December. But I think we're in a little different situation than we are normally during the month of December. But, yeah, I think there's, 10 cents up, 15 cents up in this corn market. And I guess that's what I would kind of shoot for over the next couple of weeks.
All right. I'll get a final word now from each of you. And I thank Mike Zuzulo. I will start with you this afternoon, please.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I came away from after the weekend and after the Federal Reserve was we've got a chance to make a high in the U.S. dollar and a low in the Chinese currency. I don't think the Chinese want to let that go by the wayside. So I'm still encouraged, but time is running out, as Dr. Cordonnier was talking about.
Brian Stark of the Andersons.
I think obviously we want to watch and follow through and see if we get an announcement on the secondary payment. I'm in the camp that if we do, it'd probably be a good time to sell the carry and the beans, take advantage of that moving forward. As for corn, I mentioned earlier, I think within the next 5 to 10 cents on some of the old corn you still are hanging on to, that would be kind of my target to price that.
Dan Zwicker?
On any kind of selling I would do, I would definitely try to keep the window open that I could take advantage of upside price strength. I just feel that the seasonals have turned up. I'm optimistic that we're going to work out some kind of deal on trade. And I just think this market is slowly going to grind higher. So if I was going to do any kind of marketing at all, I would definitely have some kind of derivative contract in place that would protect the downside, give me my cash or give me 80% of my cash, but still give me an opportunity to take advantage of price strength as we go on into the spring months.
And finally, Michael Cordonnier.
Well, let's keep watching South America. Brazil is had very good weather so far. They're on track, I think, for a record crop, both soybeans and corn. Argentina, kind of an average type of start. But when you combine all of South America together, it'll be a record amount of soybeans and corn in this coming growing season.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to our programming anytime you'd like, online, on demand at WILLAG.org, or find us as a podcast in the iTunes Store, Google Play, the NPR One app, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and any other place that you might pick up a podcast. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, Brian Stark from the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.